Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here at the Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers fall in regulation for just the fourth time this season. A 5-3 setback at the hands of the Flint Firebirds. This one started really well for the Rangers. Trent Swick with his 16th of the season from Matt Sopp, just 41 seconds in, and it's going to be an easy one, right? Pile up the points night. Well, not so fast, say the Flint Firebirds. Colson Petrie would respond for the visitors. His 15th of the season from brother Caden Petrie and Matthew Jenkin at 3:34 of the first. It was 1-1. The Rangers, though, would regain the lead on the 5th of the season from Luke Ellenis. Simon Motu and Cameron Reed draw the assists at 17:32. That's poor penmanship on my part. Sorry. 17:32 of the first. It was 2-1 Kitchener. But Nolan Dan would get one with just 30 seconds remaining in the period. Dan's 10th from Colson Petrie and Tristan Bartucci at 19:30 of the first. We went to the first intermission tied 2-2. In the second, it was all Firebirds. Dan's second of the game and 11th of the season from Colson Petrie at 2:30 of the second. And then Jeremy Martin with his 9th from Nathan Aspinall at 12:07. It was 4-2 Flint after 40 minutes. In the third, Cameron Arquette would get his first career Ontario Hockey League goal. Kyle Morey and Matthias Stark draw the assists at 3:54. It was 4-3. And then the Rangers could not capitalize on power play after power play after power play. And finally, Zachary Giroux into an empty net with his 15th from Tristan Bertucci and Braden Kressler at 19:14 of the third. 5-3 the final in favor of Flint. Flint goes 0-3 on the power play. The Rangers go 0-7. The Firebirds outshoot the Rangers 28-26. A Friday night crowd of 7,266 here at the Memorial Auditorium to take in the 5-3 Rangers loss. We've got lots more post-game coverage coming your way. Stay with us. The post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener, where the Rangers fall 5-3 to the visiting Flint Firebirds tonight. It was a back-and-forth game, and the Rangers ultimately fell behind, clawed back within one early in the third, but could not put the equalizer past Nathan Day. And then an empty netter would seal it for Flint, who get their first win in seven games. They had lost six in a row coming into this one, and their first over the Rangers this season. As we await head coach UC Ahokas, a chance for us to take a look at our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. It shows a final in Mississauga where the Steelheads dump the Peets 4-1. So that's back-to-back losses with just one goal scored by Peterborough since the break. They lost 9-1 in Kingston last night, 4-1 in Mississauga tonight. In London, under 2 minutes to play, and the Knights are going to make it back-to-back wins over Sarnia. Last night in Sarnia, it was 6-2 for the Knights. Here they lead 5-1 with less than two to play. And Sudbury, coming off a 4-3 overtime loss in Barrie last night, has put up a snowman. The Wolves 8-4, leading North Bay with under 3 minutes to go in Sudbury. So I think it's safe to say the Wolves will pick up the victory in that one. Just those three games on our out-of-town scoreboard tonight, brought to you by Leibold Electric. You can check out their full list of services at leiboldelectric.com. The loss for the Kitchener Rangers tonight, I mentioned a couple of times already, is just their fourth regulation loss on home ice this season. But more to the point, this now leaves the Rangers, for the first time this season that I can recall, of being in danger of surrendering first place overall, since they overtook that position. The Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, thanks to a win over the Saginaw Spirit last night in Saginaw, I will add. But the Sioux are just 1 point behind the Rangers and now hold a game in hand. Last night it was 5-2 for the Sioux in Saginaw. And so the Greyhounds at 49 points and the Rangers at 50. And as we look ahead to tomorrow, the Sioux will be on home ice against Sudbury, another northern battle after the Wolves host North Bay tonight. They'll head further north to take on the Greyhounds tomorrow night. That will be an opportunity for the Sioux to leapfrog the Rangers and take over top spot in the Ontario Hockey League. Of course, the Rangers are also in action tomorrow night. They're going to be up at the Harry Lumley Bayshore Community Center in Owen Sound. The Attack were 10-2 winners on home ice last night. Let's get you downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with head coach UC Hokus. And coach, just your thoughts on the game. Is it tough to come back after so much time off? Or what was the difference in the game tonight?
Same for everybody. Both teams, it's the same thing. But I thought second period was the one where we lost this. Second period wasn't where we didn't win battles. We didn't take shots when we were supposed to take shots. We missed the net quite a bit. Then quite a bit of puck management errors where they scored their goals. And then seven power plays, we didn't score any. So that's a difference why we lost today. And their goalie was hot. I thought third period we were actually played a good, really good period. But then, like the decision in the last one, we should have been better in the 6-on-3. Like the decision what we made, and we had plenty of chances to tie the game up. But a lot of guys got playing a little bit different role what they're used to, and they get to show what they can do. Positives, Arquette, really good game for a young boy, going to the net, rebound, call a couple other chances. Really pleased on his game. That's a tough loss.
Coach, you mentioned the power play, and you had seven opportunities. Is, other than scoring a goal, is there something that you can do differently to get this going?
Well, we changed, of course, but we didn't have a... We have to practice it, of course, a little bit more. There's been guys changing. We did some changes to the, even during the game. But then again, I thought we had chances. We could have scored one or two goals. But we have to be, when the chance comes, we need to be harder. But for power play also, like, we need the support for loose pucks. We need to hunt the loose pucks that we can get going. Actually, third period, we got a couple good looks.
Is it a good thing that we get right back on the bus and go play tomorrow in Owen Sound?
Well, yeah, for sure. Good to play. It's good to get. We had plenty of rest, so good to get back on it.
Yeah. As always, Coach, appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you, Paul. Head Coach UC Ahokas with some post-game thoughts that had a familiar ring to them. We figured puck management and the power play that was unable to score would factor into his thoughts following this 5-3 loss to Flint. We'll take a break. Come back with more post-game coverage for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
Who blew a call? Who left it all out on the ice? Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter. Break it down on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here at the Memorial Auditorium, a 5-3 win for the visiting Flint Firebirds. Paul Fixter is ringside.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with tonight's third star, Cameron Arquette, and the ever-classy Dan Leibold just did one of the classiest things I've ever been presented with here. He said, hey, Paul, why don't you take care of this? And I'm presenting. I know it's tough to see on the radio, Mike, but I'm presenting Cameron Arquette with his first OHL goal puck. How did it feel to get your first OHL goal, Cameron? And congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It feels great. Sucks to lose a game like this, but it's nice to get the first one out of the way.
And you had a glorious scoring opportunity shortly thereafter in the slot. Are you feeling it out there?
Yeah, I'm just starting to get more confident every game that passes by, and I think I was hoping for that one to go in, but it didn't, but it's all good.
What was there a message? I know you went home during the vacation, or the break, I should call it, not a vacation. Was there a message given to you by the hockey club, not knowing if you're going to come back or not, to be ready for this opportunity?
Yeah, they gave me a pretty good idea that I might be coming back, just depending on injuries and stuff, but just trying to keep playing my game and hopefully get caught, stay coming back.
You've played four games here, have a goal and two assists. Are you finding this league too easy?
No, not a chance. I think I'm just getting lucky right now, but hopefully it keeps coming.
But sometimes luck comes because of hard work and putting yourselves in the right spot and doing the right things. Do you feel you're feeling comfortable at this level?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is just to the guys that are in the room, the coaches and everything, just make me feel comfortable. I think it translates out to on the ice, and it helps me out when I'm out there.
Are the systems that you play in Leamington with your hockey club there different than you play with the Kitchener Rangers hockey club?
A little bit. It's the same idea, though, but just trying to adapt when I get called up, and hopefully I look good out there.
Obviously, you've been able to get on the board here in your four games. Is that the strength of your play?
I like to think of myself as a two-way forward, good in the D zone too, but luckily the offense is coming right now, and hopefully stay on this train.
Well, congratulations on the start you had, and I'm really happy that you got your first goal. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Back upstairs to you, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Paul. That is a pretty cool thing to be able to do. Hand the kid the puck, with which he scored his first Ontario Hockey League goal, and it's hard to imagine that will be the last, the way this kid has been playing. As Paul said, four games now after being called up from Junior B Leamington, and he's got the goal tonight along with two assists in those four games. Unfortunately for the kid, Cameron Arquette, the goal tonight comes in a losing cause. 5-3, the Firebirds beat the Rangers here at the Memorial Auditorium. Post-game coverage continues. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here at the Memorial Auditorium, after a crowd greater than 7,200 files out, a little less happy perhaps than when they came in, as Flint picks up the 5-3 victory over the Rangers here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. Let's take a look at your three stars of this game. Your three stars are brought to you by the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Well, you just heard from him. The game puck handed to him by color commentator Paul Fixter on occasion of his first career Ontario Hockey League goal. Cameron Arquette, the third star of this game tonight. Nolan Dan, the Cambridge native, former Sarnia Sting, he potted a pair tonight and was named star number two. And Colson Petrie, who picked up a goal and two helpers for the victorious visitors tonight. Petrie was named star number one. So your three stars go Colson Petrie, Nolan Dan, and Cameron Arquette. Your three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. We're back to wrap, and then get to your phone calls because we're going late into the night, just like we do after every Rangers home game. The extended version where we get to take your calls and hear from you following this 5-3 Ranger loss to the Flint Firebirds. All of it brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Well, Paul, a tough night at the office for the Kitchener Rangers coming out of the Christmas break. They went into it winning a game that they should have won but had to win differently, up 3-0 after 40 minutes in Barrie, had to win in overtime after they blew the 3-goal third period lead, and then they win it to go into the break 24-8-2. They come out tonight, they score 41 seconds in, but Flint, as you mentioned a couple of times during our broadcast, was quite simply the better team tonight. I think they wanted it a little bit more, and they were just a little sharper than the Rangers.
They were, and I don't think the Rangers expected Flint to play as well as they did, quite honestly, because, you know, you based on records and things like that. Their coach, Paul Flash, said before the game that they're better than eighth place club. They certainly looked like it tonight. That being said, they looked like it partially because Kitchener looked really out of sync. I thought they had a lot of players take the night off, quite honestly. They were still Christmas mindset, Christmas, I don't want to call it vacation, whatever, Christmas break, and they haven't come back to be ready to play yet. It certainly looked like that in their play. Outside of Cameron Reed, Parsons to some extent at times, and Arquette, there wasn't a whole lot of to get excited about. And, you know, going 0 for 7 on the power play, Mike, you're not going to win hockey games. When you get that many opportunities, you've got to find a way to score.
Yeah, and despite the personnel that was not here, again, we'll reference Machar and Rakoff, who are key parts of the power play, but it doesn't matter. When you get 7 chances in this league, you got to bear down and get at least one of them.
Well, and I thought some of their shot selection was not very good, quite honestly. Taking one-timers from way outside the dot with guys that aren't really one-time shooters, you know, you're not doing the things that will give yourself a chance, I think. I think they need to simplify it. Again, I'm not the coach. I'm just an observer, but that's my observation.
Well, you'd mentioned that maybe they weren't quite ready to play tonight. They're going to have to get ready in an awful hurry. We've already rattled off the 5 games that remain between now and 2 things. Now and when they get Machar and Rakoff back, and the OHL trade deadline. We'll talk a little bit about that because it's going to be a really interesting trade deadline, at least as far as I can tell. So we'll talk about the looming trade deadline. We'll talk about the World Juniors and try to figure out why Carson Rakoff didn't play more in the third period today with Canada down 2-0. Put the sniper out there and see what he can do. And of course, we'll talk about this game, a 5-3 loss for the Kitchener Rangers to the Flint Firebirds tonight. Let's go extended on our post-game show, okay? Phone lines now open to you at 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Your post-game show is brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570. Or something like that. I don't know, Paul, if you or I did something evil in another life, but here we are. The break is over, and we're coming back hot here with the extended post-game show with our first game back from the Christmas break. Before we dive more into this 5-3 Rangers loss to the Flint Firebirds here on home ice tonight, how was the break? Did you have a restful time? Was it good?
Let me say, Santa was very good to me. I fooled them again this year. But it was an interesting Christmas, Mike, in that there was a lot of sickness around our house, so there wasn't a lot of cheer. My wife and my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my brother to some extent, were all not feeling great. So we didn't actually get the gifts until the 26th, and then that carried over to the 27th because some of the people were not feeling real good and we couldn't get through it on the 26th. So it was great to just be away and have some time off, but I was the only one who did not get sick during the break.
Well, you and I have had to battle a couple of things already in the first half of the season, and I got to tell you, one of my favorite parts, I mean, I love what we get to do, and I love being around this game, but we are exposed to thousands and thousands and thousands of people every week. And one of my favorite parts about the break is to get away from the opportunities to pick up what those thousands and thousands of people might be carrying with them. And I couldn't help but notice when we got to the rink tonight, at least one of the people circulating with the staff sounded a little congested with the Rangers side of things. So, I mean, here we are. We'll try to dodge it for as long as we can till the next time, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just seems funny. Like, I talked to a lot of people over the break or texted with them, whatever, and every family that I seemed to talk to, somebody was not feeling up to par. But, you know, it's a great time of year. I love to eat. I love to drink. And I did a lot of both of those during the break. And again, Santa was very good to me this year, so life is pretty good at the Fixer household.
You and me both on the eating and drinking part. I became reacquainted with my favorite malt beverage and certainly had my share of turkey. Of course, that's how we spent our holidays. We hope yours were terrific as well. And now we've got, like, here's one of the other great parts of the holidays, right? It's the World Junior Hockey Championship time, so we can talk about that as we will through this post-game show. The trade deadline now is, what is this? This is the 29th, so we're 12 days away from the OHL trade deadline on January the 10th. And we've got this Ranger loss to the Flint Firebirds here tonight. 5-1-9-5-3 was the final, by the way, in favor of Flint. An empty netter with under a minute to go iced it. 519-570-2545, star 570. 1-800-570-5715. Evan, you're up first on City News 570.
Bob Fixer, what's up, guys?
Hey, Evan, we're good. How are you?
Great. I hope you guys had a great Christmas. And, well, tonight was not the best night for the Rangers fans, but or the Rangers. But hopefully we start fresh in the new year, and let's go Rangers. And Happy New Year.
What did you see from the game tonight, Evan, that you liked? What stood out to you as a positive?
Trent Swick's physicality.
Well, that physicality ended up with 4 minutes in penalties, and that's not what the Rangers needed tonight out of Trent Swick.
Yeah, that's true. But also,
That first goal.
First minute of the game? Yeah.
It was. Evan, appreciate the phone call, as always. I think, you know, Paul, you hit a nail right on the head there, because you got from Trent Swick tonight what he can give you. Like, 16 on the season now for the big man, who we all know, if you've watched this Ranger team for even a minute, no, you'd have to watch him for a couple of minutes because he's been injured and he doesn't always get the chance to showcase that shot. But he's got a shot, and he showed it there, scoring in the first minute. But the other side of it is, when you're a big man, sometimes you get called a little more closely. Other times, maybe you just get yourself in bad situations. But he took back-to-back penalties 20 seconds apart.
Yeah, and the second one was a real bad one, Mike. You know, in the offensive zone, 180 feet from your net, the high stick trying to lift the stick, and came up and, you know, caught the Flint player in the face, and he's lucky that it was only a two, because there's blood, that's a four. And those are momentum killers. Not that the Rangers had momentum at that point, but it certainly takes it away. And you know, first game back, you're trying to get everybody involved, but not everybody kills penalties, so it's tough to get guys out. It messes up line combinations. Now, that being said, the Rangers did only take three penalties, so it's not like they were in the penalty box a whole lot. You know, the other side of that, we talk about the power play until we're blue in the face. It just wasn't good enough tonight. So those are the two keys, I think. You know, there were some bad penalties, and their power play wasn't good enough. Those were real strong points in tonight's game. And honestly, it just, from top to bottom, the team wasn't good enough. It didn't look like their mindset was, hey, we're now into game 35. Their mindset was still back, you know, eating turkey and having eggnog with family and friends wherever they were prior to coming back here.
You know, this makes me think back on that first goal of the game. I thought the Rangers had done a very good job starting this game, establishing their forecheck. They had a chance before the goal, so they get the chance, the offensive zone faceoff, then they score. Swick, Sop, Miljevic looked like, okay, we're going to carry the offensive load here, and then away it went. It just seemed to evaporate on them.
Yeah, I know Swick got the nice goal. I thought Matthew Sopp had a tough game, quite honestly. I thought Miljevic was really non-existent. I can recall one or two shots that he had. And Swick wasn't the Trent Swick that we know. And with the likes of Machar and Rakoff being away, hey, those guys have to be as good as they can be on any given night, because the Rangers really need that. You know, the goal from Marquette is great, and we're going to get goals from Pugliese and others. But those three have to be the Rangers' top three players up front, in my estimation, if we're going to get through this five remaining game stretch with some wins. And not easy places that we're going to play either, Mike. You know, playing a much improved Oshawa team on Monday. We've got a team that just put up 10 yesterday. Saginaw, who's hosting the Memorial Cup. Sudbury, who's supposed to be one of the top teams in the East, and North Bay, I mean, they work hard. Those are tough games. So Rangers better find their A game pretty soon, or pretty quickly here.
And if I'm not, it's two for sure, but I think three, isn't it, Paul? I remember when we were talking, because the Rangers have so few losses, but I thought at one point, weren't we saying three of their six had come against Owen Sound? I'll have to double check, but it's at least two, and this is going to be our third trip already up to the Bayshore.
Yeah, I believe it is three, Meg. I'd have to check as well. But and Owen Sound is a hockey club that, I mean, I've liked for a long time. They're kind of hovering around that 500. They're you know, 16-13, and only 5-4-1 in their last 10. I just think they're a better hockey club than that. I really like the way they play, but they haven't showed it, you know, to the extent that I guess I'm talking about. They're in sixth place in the Western Conference. But they're in a solid playoff position. I think they're a team that will just get better and better. And we know their goaltending is very good. Their goaltending gives them a chance each and every night.
And just to add a cherry on top of that, Sunday, Colby Barlow is expected to make his return to the attack lineup tomorrow night.
Which makes them even that much better. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a really good, as the coach said, evaluation process. Guys are playing out of position. We know that, and the line combinations have been changed. We see that, but it's an opportunity all players ever ask for. I remember sitting in the coach's room, and players would knock on the door. Yep, well, I'd like an opportunity. Well, you know what? These guys are getting an opportunity now. Make the most of it. Certainly, Arquette is. He's got 3 points in 4 games, and he's noticeable out there. I keep saying Cameron Reed. I thought Cameron Reed was pretty good tonight. He skated well. He made some good decisions. He didn't turn the puck over. The Rangers were in a game where they turned the puck over an awful lot tonight. That's not something that you see out of this hockey club. And I thought Reed was one of the guys who didn't, where some of the other defensemen made some ill-advised decisions with the puck, especially in the defensive zone.
The Flynn Firebirds get their first win over the Kitchener Rangers this season after the Rangers went to the Dort Federal Event Center and beat the Firebirds twice. And indeed, it is three times that the Owen Sound Attack have beat the Kitchener Rangers already this season in 5 games the teams have played. So it won't be an easy game for the Rangers tomorrow night. That is for certain. All right, let's go back to the phones. Cody, you're next on City News 570.
Hey, Farwell. Hey, Fixter. What's up, guys?
Hey, Cody. We're good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, even though we lost tonight, I still see... I saw a positive with that new kid, Cameron Arquette, scoring his first OHL goal tonight. I'm proud of the kid.
Yeah, and I think everybody is, and the kid's probably proud of himself. He's really been making the most of his opportunities, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm also confident that the Rangers will rebound. I know, like Fixter said, it won't be easy against Owen Sound tomorrow. But I can see a way that the Rangers can rebound.
What is that way? What do you see? I'm really curious.
well, all I can say is, well, don't forget their power play tonight was bad. Like not capitalized. They need to capitalize more. Like they need to shoot more and pass less.
You know what, Cody? Good observation. Appreciate the phone call. And this is something, Paul, that you talked about as we were watching this team, especially into the third period. They were on 22 shots at the time. You said they need to get to 32. You just wanted to see them put pucks at the net. And really, it's so much easier said than done, I've come to believe over the years. But simplifying your game in those moments, just pounding pucks on the net, is probably the recipe for success.
And what it does is if you take a couple of big slap shots, the old slap shot from the blue line, and they block it, what happens then, Mike, is they start to back off a little bit because they don't want to get in that shot lane and get hit by a 95-mile-an-hour slap shot. I really believe when you establish the point shot, it backs the defenders, the penalty killers, off, which then allows you to make those passes if you want, or more importantly, gives you that lane to shoot the puck, which I think the team needs to shoot the puck more. When you have seven opportunities on the power play, and I know the one was 39 seconds, and bottom line is they had a lot of opportunities. 26 shots is not enough. And outside of the power play situation, the shooting, like I look at the Elinas opportunity that he had, and he passes it and makes a bad pass, quite honestly. If you're going to pass it, you better make it a great pass that allows that guy to put the puck in the net. He made a terrible pass, put in Botno's feet. Put the puck on the net. You know, I say this all the time, but the difference between a goal scorer and a non-goal scorer is the goal scorer is selfish. He shoots the puck. And non-goal scorers, they don't. And if you want to score goals, go to the blue paint, like you said, but also shoot the puck. And I can't believe Elinas turned that down. For those that were listening, he was right in front, just atop of the blue paint, and it was just him and the goalie.
The only thing I can think of, Paul, is that he just didn't trust his backhand to lift the puck, because he would have had to. His day was sliding. I mean, I agree totally. I stopped virtually mid-sentence because I was so surprised that he passed the puck. But he was on his backhand, and my guess is just that he didn't trust it enough. I don't know.
Well, then he should work on it, because, I mean, there's only two sides of the stick, forehand and backhand, and, you know, a lot of the times the puck is on your backhand. I mean, we watch these players make cross-ice saucer passes on their backhand, so certainly from 5, 6 feet, you can put a puck on the net. And even if he doesn't raise it, Mike, he forces the goaltender to make a save. And then that's when you get in there and jam away and maybe get that loose rebound. Or if he saves it, he saves it. But at least you're forcing him to save it. He never had to make a save, because I don't really... Botno kind of got it a second time and got a little bit on it maybe, but it wasn't a great opportunity like they could have had. I'm being hard on Elinas there, but if I was his coach, I would be hard on it. I'd show him that and say, Luke, you want to get, I think he's on 5 or 6 goals now, you want to get to 10 goals, start shooting the puck more.
Yeah, he did score one tonight, yep. And that did put him at 5, I believe, on the season. Yes, now at 5. Should have been 6 there. I agree with you. And just to come back to Cody's point on the power play, and this is where Cody believes the Rangers can have success tomorrow night. Look, I don't care if you are missing Rakoff and Machar. This Rangers team is not going to go 0 for its next 7 on the power play. I'll put money on that right now. Whether they get 3 tomorrow night and 4 on Monday or whatever it turns out to be, they will not go 0 for their next 7, in my humble estimation. I think they will rebound. They've got the coaching staff that will help them do that.
Yeah, I know Coach Karakas puts a lot of time and effort into that and takes a lot of pride in that. He'll work on it. And I think, you know, one of the key components to this power play all year has been Brustevich. Brustevich had an off night, and he'll be better. And he really is kind of the straw that stirs this power play in a lot of ways. Hey, he's leading the league. He's tied for the league in scoring. So that power play is a big part of that. And I think Sopp, I think all these guys will be better. I just would like to see them, to Cody's point, I would like to see them shoot the puck more on the power play, Mike. Establish the shot, and then once you back off the penalty killers, you can, you know, start to pass it around if you want and find those seams. But I wouldn't be worried about seam passes. I'd be worried more about getting pucks through to the net, and I would have guys that want to pay the price at the net front like Trent Zwick does.
I thought I handed you a gimme during our pregame show, and the fix is in, sponsored by City Cabs, when I said, will Hunter Brustevich take over the league lead in points going ahead of Carson Rakoff tonight? All Brustevich needed was 1 point, which for him is almost automatic this season. But as you mentioned, maybe just a little bit off for Hunter tonight.
Yeah, I thought that was an easy layup for me as well. And by the way, I have to thanks to City Cavs for putting that out there. And as I said to you when you told me during the break, Mike, I said, hey, the fix is in on getting home safely after a night out with City Cabs.
There you go. Exactly. Tanner Lamb was our other points producer that we were watching tonight. If he could have gotten two, he would have regained second place in rookie scoring. He was overtaken by Jake O'Brien of the Brantford Bulldogs, who put up 3 points last night and is now 1 point ahead of Tanner Lamb in the rookie scoring race. Running second right now is O'Brien. Sam Riley in London is leading the way. But O'Brien's a nice story, and he's going to threaten. I mean, he's got a long way to go, but Artur Kaliev is the franchise record holder for points by a rookie with the Bulldogs, and you never know if Jake O'Brien's going to get there. Had a nice night last night. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Kevin, you're next on the post-game show for You Say Flooring on City News.
How's it going, guys? Happy holidays and everything. Tough game tonight, definitely in that. Definitely not a team effort in that. I usually don't like pointing out guys, but it was definitely the worst game I've probably seen Soppy play, number 91 in that this game. Just made bad timing, bad plays, shots. Like, I've seen one up close where tried to shoot it right between the big defenseman, and it bounced out, and it came out, and that's where they went down the other way, right? But it bounced back from a game, maybe after this, let it go. Kudos on the kid getting a goal. That'll be Arquette and everything, so... That's super that he's there. He'll be a bright future, hopefully, Matt. And, I mean, yeah, like you said, the work ethic wasn't there. Along the boards was tough. Like, I've seen a lot of sticks trying to get the puck rather than taking the body and moving and whatever. You take it as a layoff, and hopefully they bounce, like, put this in the backboards, and then, you know what, go on, move on, and come back.
Kevin, really appreciate that call. Thanks for making it. Sometimes, Paul, I think... focusing on a guy like Matt Sopp, when his supporting cast is away, a guy like Matt Sopp, who is a leader, expects a lot of himself, probably sometimes maybe he tries too hard. You're just trying to do a little bit too much. And that might have been the case for Sopp tonight.
I think you're bang on, Mike. This guy cares. He cares about the Kitchener Ranger Hockey Club. He cares about performing. He's from this area, and he knows that a lot of people are watching him. He had an off night. That's a great observation. He had a real off night, I mean, to put it bluntly. And I do believe he will respond because he's a proud individual. And I think he's probably feeling a little bit of extra pressure, is the word I'll use, to produce offensively because of those guys missing. And Matthew Sopp is a high-end offensive player for this hockey club, but he doesn't need to put any more pressure on himself than he would if Machar and Rakoff were here. He just needs to be Matthew Sopp that has played very well for the first 34 games.
Kid's on pace for 100 points this year. That's the kind of production he's been putting up. Yes, granted, with more of a supporting cast than is here currently, but well described by you. The other point that Kevin made that I made a little notation about is talking about Cameron Arquette's goal, the future looks bright. You go beyond that, and look, I know that Matthias Stark and Luca Romano and Tanner Lamb were all pretty quiet tonight, but both you and I thought Cameron Reed had himself a pretty solid game. Whether they're showing up every night and dazzling you or not, you're seeing enough, at least I am, Paul, from these youngsters, these 16-year-olds on the team, and then you throw a guy like Cameron Arquette into the mix tonight who picks up his first career goal. He's got 3 points in 4 games played in this league when usually he's playing down with Junior B. Leamington. The future, in many aspects, is really bright for this hockey club right now.
It certainly is, Mike, and I think that's why, like, is this team built for now? Or is this team built for the future? And that's, you know, that's a really, hey, they're still in first place. So what do you do? And it's something that will be discussed, I'm sure. I'm surprised we haven't heard anything from it now because that deadline is coming up. I was out when you asked me about them making a big splash. Will they make a splash? Will they dip their toes in? I think they will. I don't think they'll make the big splash that you were kind of asking me when you asked me on the pregame. It'll be interesting to watch, though, from now until January 10th when that trade deadline happens. It's still a very good hockey club. that just had a bad night, quite honestly. They need to find a way, though, to be a lot better, because the schedule isn't going to get any easier. The schedule is going to get more difficult, and they're playing against teams that are on the upswing. This Flint club coming in here tonight was a team that hadn't won very many games in the last 10, and they found a way to be better than the Rangers tonight, that's for sure.
You can bet if the Rangers are even sniffing around a big splash at trade deadline time, going after one of the big pieces that might be available, the asking price is going to include Cameron Reeder, Luca Romano. I can't imagine any other way when you think of the number of teams that will be involved in bidding to try to get some of the biggest fish out there at the trade deadline. And so that's a massive decision to have to make.
Well, and I think that's when Mike hangs up the phone
right.
And says, thanks for your call. Call me again when you're more realistic.
Yeah. So that's certainly out there. And then the question also becomes, like, I'm hearing people say that they think that North Bay and Guelph are going to be buying at the trade deadline. I'm not so sure about that. I think Guelph might get a guy like Matthew Potra back in their lineup, and that's addition without doing anything. And I think North Bay has had a nice run, and now it's time to take a step back. But who knows? The Eastern Conference, all you have to do is get to the dance, and if Saginaw is the team on the other side, then you earn a berth in that Memorial Cup anyway. We'll see how it all works out. But right now, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with more as we continue post-game coverage following a Rangers 5-3 loss to the Flint Firebirds. Stay with us. It's brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Paul Fitzner, Mike Farwell here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium that they are turning over, getting ready for the KW Titans opener tomorrow night. Here's just a pro tip for you. Come to the Titans game, watch them take on the Sudbury Five, and have a little AirPod in or earbud, whatever it is you wear, and listen to the game from Owen Sound. You can have both games at once, but we wish the KW Titans the best as they launch into their new season in that brand new Basketball Super League. So have some fun, and you can be still here in this building tomorrow night for more sporting action. The Rangers, go ahead, Paul, sorry.
And they have a local player, Mike, Jawan Miller.
Yes.
Who I got to know quite well this summer. He's a he's on the grounds crew at Westmount Golf and Country where I play. Just a great young man who's really excited. It's his fourth year with this club, so obviously he's a good player. Played down south on a scholarship, and I loved talking to him, and I will get out this year to see you play, Joanne, on the floor here at the auditorium, because I really got to know him and enjoy his company, and I think it's exciting. I hear David Schooley talk about it being the next best thing to the NBA, and he's not wrong.
You know what? You come to a game, you're going to be hooked. Our family has. It really is such great entertainment value. Lots of fun, lots of energy. I'm surprised you didn't have Joanne over to shoot in your backyard with you, Fixie.
Yeah, right? I do have a basketball net back there. Speaking of my backyard, I've been getting a text from some people that are sitting in my house asking for a shout-out. So I will give a shout-out to the people sitting in my house. Maybe they should call in with their observations from tonight's game, because they did listen to us, Mike.
I'm glad they did, but at this point of the evening, Paul, if they've been at your house, I know your hospitality. They might not be the kinds of callers we want, but thank you for sticking with us. Rangers fall 5-3 to the Flint Firebirds tonight, and we continue extended on our post-game show. You get to be a part of it at 519-570-2545. Star 570, 1-800-570-5715. Big part of this game is the Rangers going 0-for-7 on the power play. Let's go back to the phones. Grant, you're on City News 570.
Yeah, so what did we get rid of to get our cat? And two, about...
Nobody. Nobody. Okay. They're just guys that get called up with other players gone.
But he was a draft pick.
Yes, he was a draft pick, yes.
Okay, now the Carson Ray Cup. I didn't watch any of the any exhibition games, but from what I could see from the regular games, Carson hasn't been playing he's been playing very little. Well, in my opinion, that's garbage. I'm not a bench warmer. I'm playing. You either play me or you send me back home. Like, I would tell
well,
the
listen.
Folks, I would pack my bags.
He's not going to do that. But listen, I get where you're coming from, Grant, and appreciate the phone call. Listen, I'm sure Grant Carson probably feels a little bit miffed as well, but it's a chance to play for Canada, and whether you're on the ice or not, you can share in that medal should the Team Canada get one. But this is a good opportunity for us, Paul, to talk about Carson Rakoff, the so-called 13th forward. And look, when Matthew Patra gets returned from the National Hockey League, there's another centerman. It just shows you how deep this team is. But you and I both felt that certainly today, against Sweden, when Canada was not generating anything offensively, third period, throw him out there and give him some regular ice.
Grant's not wrong about he should be getting more ice opportunity. He is very wrong about leaving the hockey club. First of all, Seattle wouldn't be too impressed if you just left Hockey Canada. Okay, so let's put that aside. Carson Rakoff, is a player that we know here as a top-end scorer, but he's amongst all those players on that hockey club. The coaching staff has made a decision. I disagree with the decision they've made, but that's the decision they made. I don't understand why. Does he have a nagging injury or something? I mean, who knows? But I would have had him out there, certainly. He's a goal scorer. They were down 2-0. They needed to score goals. He didn't play much in the first game either. He was a 13th forward. Worked his way into a little bit more. The second game was playing with Macklin Celebrini, who's, you know, projected to go number one. He was playing with Macklin quite a bit. Ended up scoring a beautiful goal, a goal that we've seen him score here in the auditorium, where he took the puck, drove hard to the net, and made a great kind of backhand forehand move to deposit it. And then the second goal, I didn't see the second goal, quite honestly, because when it got to 5-0, I had other things. I had sick people in my house to take care of, so I didn't get to watch his second goal, but I know he scored two. So I would have had him out there more. But, you know, how do you question Hockey Canada, who does their homework?
The thing that really surprised me today, aside from the fact that, yes, you haven't scored, you need to generate offense, put a guy out there that's leading his league, the Ontario League, in goals scored with 31. But even with his limited opportunity, Rakoff earned himself a breakaway in the first period today versus Sweden. Didn't score, obviously, but still put himself in that position. It makes it tough for me to kind of figure out, but Savoy had a breakaway later that also went for naught, and I guess it just wasn't Canada's day. And we should add, Sweden showed us all, I think, the kind of hockey team they are.
Oh, they're great. They're a great hockey club. You've mentioned this many times, Mike. It starts from the goaltender out. They've got one heck of a goaltender there. Sweden seems to Sweden and Finland seem to have really good goaltending prospects. I was really impressed with him. They played defense so sound, so structured in the defensive zone, and they just seem to score enough goals to win hockey games. They haven't given up a goal in 9 periods of hockey and have looked to be the best club that I've watched all the games. They look to be the best club at this point. Doesn't mean they're going to be the best club at the end, but they've been impressive. They certainly were the better team today. They outplayed Canada and were deserving of the win. Just getting back to Carson again real quickly, Alan Letang is somebody who knows Carson too, because we've played Sarnia a couple of times now, and he knows what he's capable of doing. It's interesting that he wouldn't have had him out there more. Like, I'm really perplexed by that, quite honestly. Scott Walker knows him. I mean, Scott sees him, you know. Scott's over in Guelph, so it's interesting. That's one of the beauties of this tournament, is we get so fixated and fascinated with the players that we know, kind of forgetting that there's all these other players from all these other teams throughout the CHL, plus the NC2A collegiate hockey in the United States, where these kids come from. It's just a wonderful tournament. The level of performance by these players is off the charts. And what's really cool for me is the Germans are getting better. The Slovaks look good. Like, all these teams are getting better, because if it's just Canada and the U.S. and Sweden every year, well, why do we watch? There's 10 teams in it. You're hoping that the games are more competitive. The 10-0 blowouts, I don't want to watch those games. I want it to be a competitive tournament. And when we lose, I've always said when you leave the arena, you want one of two emotions, that of joy or one of being upset. Well, today it was one of being upset both over in Sweden and here on East Avenue in Kitchener.
Yeah, the Rangers lose 5-3. Team Canada loses 2-0 to Sweden. Did it finish 3-0? It was 2-0. Yeah, 2-0 to Sweden. And my frustration remains, having covered this league for as long as I have. I love that junior hockey gets its due at Christmas time, but then everybody just forgets about it again after January 5th, and it frustrates the heck out of me. I think pound for pound, dollar for dollar, you're not getting better value than you get from the Canadian Hockey League in all 60 markets across this country.
Point well taken, Mike. And what was really neat, having that interview that we did in the second period with Reho Ruotsalainen, his was from the late 70s and 1980, his experience, and he still talked about it with a smile on his face all these years later. It was just a wonderful experience for him, and a much different tournament. The worldwide exposure now and television coverage is so much greater than it was when Reho played in, 78, 79, and 80.
We're going to keep those World Junior connections coming on our broadcast tomorrow night from Owen Sound. Another member of one of those teams, either the Attack or the Rangers, you can figure it out, has been to a couple of World Juniors, and we'll get to hear from him during our broadcast tomorrow night from the Bayshore. Back to the phones here in Kitchener tonight following the Rangers 5-3 loss. Andre, you're on Rangers Talk for You Save Flooring.
Well, hello, Mike. Hello, Paul. my family is sore. Threat throw, so a little bit down. Canada lost. Kitchener lost. But happy to listen to the game from you guys. It's wonderful. there wasn't much tonight. My disappointment, I was just hoping that the players would have given a little bit harder. Kind of like you said, Mike, at the beginning, since the first goal, it seemed like it was going to happen. Wasop would have stepped in. Lamb, that I like, would have been a little bit slickier. It wasn't there. I don't want to talk about last year. We'll leave the turkey behind you. That's over. But I was just hoping a little bit more. Ashton Jackson saved them from going overboard. Beside that, I didn't find it was much. But one thing that impresses me, Mike, and this is why I'm calling especially, is they had 4 power play at third period, right?
Yes, 4 in the third period alone, yes.
Yeah, so that means that the team that I don't like every year now, the Firebird, because you never know when they're good, when they're not. They're unpredictable, but they got good heart, and they got good coaching, like Paul said. They showed it tonight, but they fall down. If you're getting that many penalties, that means you are stressing, you are panicking, you're not afraid that they're going to score, so let's just, slow them down, stuff like that. And we didn't compromise on that. And that's what I think was our player was probably getting frustrated, like, how can we do this? I was just hoping by UC, if he would have did a rotation of player faster to try and beat them at their own game. That's what I was hoping for, and I didn't feel no really big push or more shots, stuff like that.
All right, Andre, appreciate the call. I'm not really sure how you rotate players onto and off of the ice any faster, but I will pick up on Andre's point about Action Jackson, and you mentioned this during the game, Paul. Jackson Parsons, we call him Action Jackson when he makes big saves, and boy oh boy, did he make a monster save late third period, Rangers down by 1, and in that moment was absolutely a game saver, still gave his team a chance to tie it and maybe earn a dirty point tonight.
I've heard you say in the promos many times, no quit in the kid.
There was no quit in the goaltender there on that play. He gave everything he had. And even when I look through the goals that they scored, Mike, like, they were good shots. They weren't bad goals that, you know, when he should have had or whatever. They were just good shots. There were miscues by the Rangers, turnovers, you know, not making smart decisions with the puck, hanging on to the puck too long and then turning it over, those sorts of things. I can't really blame Jackson for the loss tonight by any means. And he did in the end. You know, he gave them a chance and kept that a one-goal game at that point. You know what you're going to get with him on a game-in, game-out basis. And I think Andre's right, like, you know, just getting back to the power play, that was a real key tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they just weren't good enough on the power play. They weren't good enough in a lot of areas, but that was certainly. And when you have eight power plays in the third period, I mean, that's almost half the period that you've been given an opportunity to score, and they didn't. So that's one of the main things that I take away from this game tonight.
You just love to see Jackson Parsons not quit at any point. And that save coming when it did shows that he was still as dialed into the game late third as he was when the game began. Let's hear next from Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you are on Rangers Talk for You Save Flory.
Hello, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Indeed. Really quickly before I go into my point, I won't ramble on, but what happened to Dracolo tonight? How come Dracolo didn't dress on defense? So it's just a matter of going with six, or?
Yeah, that would be my guess.
That's a great question.
It is. Blair Scott moved up to forward because Matheus Stark, Antonio Pugliese, both out pre-Christmas. So Scott goes to forward, Dracolo comes in and plays defense, but Scott back on D tonight, and Dracolo back, I guess, Fort Erie is where he was, or is.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah,
no,
good question, though. I was surprised as well.
Yeah, no, we're, Paul, I was. When I seen the lineup, I said, I wonder where he is. So I'm just going to make a quick comment there on Rakoff, Alan Letang and stuff. Mark Masters was interviewing him the other day. I think it was before he got his two goals in the previous game against Latvia. And, he asked him why he wasn't on the ice much. And Letang didn't really have much of an answer for him. He asked him a couple times, and he was at a loss for words. Now, I just think that, like you guys are saying, people are reading a lot into it, and they're saying, okay, how come he's not on the ice for 20 minutes? You'd probably start worrying about Rakoff not getting ice time in elimination games. So I think once it gets down to the nitty-gritty, you'll see him on the ice a lot more. And then the last thing I got, because I think Kitchener's got a chance to do some damage this year in the playoffs. And I think that they're good in net, and they're good on the back end, and they're good in their bottom six. But if they want to go and make a tiny bit of a splash, and I don't think they can do it, and I don't think he wants to part with the draft picks, but Slovakia is doing really well with Philip Machar and Cervak Petrovsky. Man, would it ever look good if Kitchener could get Petrovsky and Machar together and run the first line with Rakoff. Man, oh man, they'd be unstoppable. Okay, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Appreciate it. That's a tall order, though. You're talking about trading within the division. You're talking about trading with a team that I think, Paul, I'm not sure if Dale DeGray knows exactly what he's got, but that to me has been a frustrating team. I had Owen Sound pegged as a dark horse in this Western Conference from day one. I feel like I'm off the mark on that, but gosh, I don't know what they're going to do there. And anyway, I will also just add, unfortunately for Mike McKenzie, he doesn't have the draft picks. He doesn't have draft picks to move.
Yeah. I mean, if you could pop Petrovsky into the lineup, that'd certainly be nice. And very good observation, too, about those two playing together. I think Machar has looked fantastic in his play for Team Slovakia at this point. He's done everything that I believe Montreal has probably asked him to. He's been solid defensively. Offensively, we know what he can do, but he's been really solid in the defensive zone, too. It'd be interesting, though. What's it take to get a player like that into your lineup? Probably something that Kitchener doesn't have. And, you know, in terms of trading within the division, it's happened before, but Oshawa and Peterborough did it. So,
for sure, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's it. I think the price just goes up, doesn't it?
Like, oh, yeah. You know, no question.
But the other thing I'll add to this, Jeffrey mentioned he thinks the bottom six is in good shape. Don't forget, Rangers fans, and I had this conversation in the media room before the game tonight, and the gentleman with whom I was having the conversation was a little more sour on it than I was. And I understand it because the player I'm about to name has a history, unfortunately, of injury, but his heart has never been injured. And so the player I'm talking about is Mitch Martin. You're going to add a top six forward back into this lineup sometime in the next month or so. Mitch Martin comes back, and just think of what that does to this Rangers team.
I think, you know, and a healthy Mitch Martin is going to be a very motivated Mitchell Martin, because he's at the end of his rope in this league. He wants to be a pro hockey player. He's told me that. So he's going to be doing everything he can within his power to impress over 20 games or whatever he's going to get in, you know, 25 games. He's going to play his heart out. He's going to play his heart out anyways, but he's extra motivated because this is his last chance to impress at this level.
Great stuff, Jeffrey. Way to bring some content to our post-game coverage following a 5-3 Ranger loss to the Flint Firebirds tonight. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more. Your post-game show is brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now. 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Cambridge native Nolan Dan scores twice tonight. The problem is, even though he's from the region, he plays for the other team, not the Kitchener Rangers. Dan and the Firebirds, a 5-3 win over the Rangers tonight. Of note from the Rangers side of things, the first career Ontario Hockey League goal for Cameron Arquette, and an 0-for-7 night on the power play for Kitchener. Let's go back to the phones. Steven, you're on City News 570.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
We're great. How are you?
Good. That sounds like you had a, well, for the most part, good holidays.
Yes, we did. Thank you.
I hear you. No fun when people are sick around you, but yeah. I mean, the first period, I think sometimes it's maybe a blessing or a curse when you score that fast. And I think basically, I mean, then you go up 2-1 and basically 30 seconds in when you allow that second goal. And then second period, you can only generate 5 shots. And that really makes it hard for the third.
I think it reminds me of something, Paul, you said a couple of times tonight during the broadcast. And that was, you know, like it or not, Flint was the better team for 60 minutes tonight.
They were. And to the point about 5 shots in the second period, he's right. They didn't shoot the puck enough. And I think there were opportunities where they had the opportunity to shoot, and they elected to pass. And I don't understand that mindset when you've taken out 40-plus goals out of the lineup. You better find a way to do that, and the only way to do that is if you're shooting the puck. It's a good observation that they only had 5 in the second, because that's not enough for sure. Flint was the better team, Mike, and Kitchener has to find a way to be a lot better, because the level of competition is going to be a lot better as we move forward here.
That's a really good point. What else are you feeling tonight, Steven?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, the power play, again, too much. Maybe too much passing, obviously, with that 0-for-7. But, you know, I mean, you have Trent Swick, yes, big boy in front of the net. I'm trying to think, who else can you put in front of the net to kind of, you know, to do the same thing. But, these things happen. Just hopefully they can rebound in a tough building to play against. Anyhow, gentlemen, I know there's more people on in, so take care, have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank
Always
you.
Good to hear from you. And, you know, Matt Andonofsky has been put in that Trent Swick net front position in the past, but I just think, too, halfway through the season, and all of a sudden you're essentially redesigning what your power play is going to look like to adapt to the personnel?
Well, I think they have to, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have Machar and Rakoff on the flanks or the outside, the exterior, whatever you want to call it, for the shots that they take from that spot. And they do like the seam passes. Like, they're very good at it with Sopp and Rakoff and Machar. But I just think, to simplify it, it would give them a chance to be more effective on the power play. And it's really not, you're not complicating things by changing it. You're actually making it easier because it's a shot mentality with the net front presence that is pretty simple. Get the puck back, shoot it.
Yeah, Sopp did get a couple of looks on that flank tonight, but his one-timer, no disrespect to Matt Sopp, is neither Philip Machar's nor Carson Rakoff's.
No, and there were a couple times I was like, a one-time shot needs a one-time pass, and sometimes not every pass is one-timeable. And I thought Matthew made some decisions tonight to one-time the puck that wasn't a one-timer puck, and then wasn't able to get enough on it or anything on it. You don't really want to have to cradle the puck, which allows the goalie to get set. But if it's not in the spot to take the one-timer, you do have to cradle it and put it in a position where you can get a good shot off. And I thought he just had one-timer mindset, and it didn't work.
All right, let's stay with the phones and go next to Eddie. Eddie, you are on Rangers Talk for USA Flooring. Hello.
Hello, Mike. All right, and Fixter, of course. Got to get used to that. I got two things. I got two things to say. One's just the game. One's regarding the deadline that's coming up. This game, I mean, yeah, they just got outplayed. You know, power play wasn't looking great. I will say, though, I'm not saying this just because he scored his first OHL goal, but I thought Arquette looked pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I don't really know what else much to say about this game. But my other point was regarding the deadline. I feel like this is the first year in a while where there just hasn't been a lot of talk heading up to the deadline. Not just Rangers. I mean, the whole league. I don't know if I'm not checking Twitter enough, but I don't hear about, you know, all these big pieces that are expected to be moved or whatnot. Like, it just seems to be radio silence.
You know, Eddie, it's a really good observation. Appreciate the phone call, and this will give Paul and I a chance to dive a little more deeply into it. So we're going to have only one more home game, which is next Thursday versus Saginaw, to talk about the trade deadline, because it'll be a few days away, and then we won't have another home game until after the deadline, and we'll know what everybody has done. The reason I think it's been quieter, to Eddie's point, is that, honestly, Paul, I look around the league before Christmas, and I will list off 17 teams to you that I think have reason to believe they could still be contending somehow. You know, with the exception of Windsor, Sarnia, and Niagara. But now Peterborough's really starting to slide. I think, personally, Owen Beck is going to be the biggest piece out there on the trade market this year. I'm hearing some people say that North Bay is going to buy and must buy. I don't believe that for a second, but because I would look at Ty Nelson and Dom DeVincentis as really nice assets to move from North Bay and get yourself accelerated into that next cycle. But maybe I'm wrong, because others are saying, like I said, North Bay not only will buy but must buy. I'm hearing that Guelph has to be a buyer. I don't see it that way at all. I think if they get Matthew Patra back, they're just that much better already. Don't forget, Cam Allen's out injured. He comes back, and they're already getting good goaltending, and you don't have to do anything, and you're a much better team. Anyway, that's enough from over here. It's just, I find it a really interesting year as we approach the deadline.
I really believe, Mike, if we're going to see the type of activity that we believe could happen come trade deadline, Eddie says, it'll be on the eastern side.
100%.
Yeah, like, because, you know, you get to the final, you just have to get to the final as an Eastern team, right? And like, if it's
we're assuming Saginaw gets here on this side, right?
Correct.
But that's not unfair to assume, because
no,
they're good now, and Dave Drinkel has made it clear they intend on getting better.
Yeah, so Kitchener fans aren't going to be happy to hear me say Saginaw winning the West. I'm not saying they're winning the West. I'm just saying the way that Saginaw expects to be there. If I'm an Eastern team, I just would like to get to the final. If I'm an Eastern team looking, hey, Saginaw's going to win the West, we get to the final, we can get to the Memorial Cup. We don't have to beat Saginaw. We just have to play against them. So and you feel you have a chance on the East? I don't know who those teams are on the East, Mike. You know, is it Sudbury?
It's got to be Sudbury. In my opinion, Paul, if I'm Rob Papineau, I'm blowing my brains out this year to get it's their turn.
Having their turn.
Well,
they've,
I know.
They've never won.
But I'm sorry, they're at the right time in the cycle.
Yeah.
And to the point you just made, if you're on the Eastern side, you're basically thinking, we just got to get to the dance. So if I'm Sudbury, I am throwing everything and the kitchen sink in on whatever deal I can make.
Like, having lived there and coached there, he would be a god in that city. They've been to the finals before, but they've never won the championship.
I think it was 07 against Plymouth, 06? Anyway,
yeah.
But that was the last time they really made some noise over there.
Yeah, so
Mike Foligno was coaching,
yeah. That's right. And they didn't have a great regular season.
They kind of middled in. They came in as the 7th seed, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I would make a move if I was them to try and win the East. I don't know how strong the East is. We're certainly going to find out because we have a lot more games coming up against the East. But I don't know what the pieces are. Eddie makes a really interesting point. I don't follow Twitter as much as most people do. But whatever's not being said out there, there's a reason for it.
Okay. I'm going to make the argument to you that maybe, just maybe, and I love them, I do, but maybe it's not Saginaw's year in the Western Conference. We'll talk more about that as we continue your post-game show for USAVE Flooring following a 5-3 Rangers loss tonight to the Flint Firebirds. Stay with us. We continue on City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by USAVE Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
All right, from the armchair coaches to the armchair general manager. And your armchair general manager's name is Mike Farwell in this moment as we welcome you back to the post-game show. Rangers fall 5-3 to the Flint Firebirds tonight. As we wrap things up here tonight, Paul, I'll pose this theory to you. We all gift a Memorial Cup berth and an OHL championship to the Saginaw Spirit. And of course we do that because they want to go in the front door. We've talked to Dave Drinkel and he's made it clear that even the deals they've already made, and they've made a few, they're not done. They want to do everything in their power to go in that front door and win the Ontario Hockey League. Fine, and I think that they have the personnel and the management to do it. But I'm looking at this Western Conference right now, and the Saginaw Spirit are sitting in fifth place. And I'm sorry, but the Rangers, young or not, are a very good team. The London Knights are appearing to get better right now and are never an easy out. And how about those Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, who, by the way, were bidding for the Memorial Cup as well and lost out to Saginaw? Do you not think they would love it in the Sioux and would have a parade just for knocking Saginaw out or preventing them from winning on the Western side? So I think I will just say, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Saginaw even comes through this side.
Very, very, very good comment, Mike. Very true. And I concur with you. And when I look at Sioux, they've had a heavy away schedule. They've got more home games than, which is beneficial. It's a tough place to play.
And in their last month, in March, they've got 7 at home and 4 on the road.
So, I mean, they're legit. Kitchener Rangers are certainly legit. And listen, London's always in there.
Always.
I mean, Dale and Mark do a wonderful job. Saginaw doesn't have an easy path. They are a very good hockey club. We're going to get to see them just under a week from now when they come in here and play Thursday. It'll be fun to see what they've got in their lineup and how they play. It's not going to be an easy, well, sitting in fifth spot, they wouldn't even be a first round
home ice.
Home ice.
Yeah.
So makes it all that more difficult. And you know, you want to get into the Memorial Cup, you'd almost be better off to lose and have that rest if you're going to have to battle it out on the road all those games, you know?
Well, the last Ontario team to win did just that.
Windsor.
The Windsor Spitfires.
Windsor, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not the way they want to do it, but they wouldn't be. Well, there's been other teams in the Quebec League. I can't think of it offhand who have gone out in the first round.
It was just, and I'm thinking, I was trying to think of his name.
Yeah, they fired
Gardner
the coach.
Gardner. I should have it all of. Anyway, yeah. Lovely guy, was here. Met him while he was visiting the city here in Kitchener.
Yeah.
They fired their coach after getting knocked out in the first round. They bring in Gardner and
win.
They win.
So, you know, it's not good. That's what makes, when you talk about this all the time, like the excitement of junior, that's what makes junior hockey so exciting.
Oh.
And especially when, you know, you're hosting the Memorial Cup within your league. There's all these balls in the air and all these variables, which also brings in, you know, the trade scenarios, because it is in our league. Like, you actually have to win to get there.
I can't remember a time that I have looked forward to a trade deadline with this much anticipation, just because of the sheer number of teams that I think, they think, still have a chance of doing something. It's going to be really interesting over the next 12 days.
Well, that's the words you use all the time, Mike, is parity. And there's a lot of parity throughout the league, but there's a heck of a lot of parity on the Western side.
I would put your money on Saginaw and Sudbury doing big things. Others might just tinker here and there to make it more difficult on those two teams. But anyway, we're out of time. It goes by fast. They fix the holy cow.
Does it ever go by fast?
But I'll tell you what. We're done with Christmas. Let's just do this again tomorrow, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. We'll be on the air. We don't get to do the post-game show, but we'll be on the air from the Harry Lumley Bayshore Community Center in beautiful Owen Sound, 6:30 pregame tomorrow night before Rangers and Attack drop the puck at 7. Thank you very much for being a part of our broadcast tonight. On behalf of my partner, Paul Fixner, and our producer, Adam Sanderson, my name is Mike Farwell. I bid you a very good Friday night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.